Word was made flesh and has lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. In the lesson from the letter to the Philippians that Paul wrote in prison, selected for Palm Sunday throughout the history of Christianity, we're told, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Paul there is speaking of that last moment of human history, this universe's history, when the Lord will return in all of his glory and every human being, every last human being that has ever or will ever live will acknowledge Jesus, will see Jesus for who he truly is. When that moment arrives, we're told there will be a moment of absolute clarity. For even those who pierced him, for every single human soul, and they will acknowledge him for everything he is and was and ever will be. It should not surprise us then that for a very, very long time, the singular most known personality throughout the world, actually throughout history at any given moment, since Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ as he's identified here, the Son of God, came into the world. And no, I'm not saying that every single person on the earth at this moment knows who he is. But I'm saying there is no doubt that as you dig through history or you would survey in this moment around the world, there is no singular individual from the annals of history who truly lived, who walked this earth, that shared our human predicament, who is as known, not just in his identity, but who he came to be, what he came to accomplish, than Jesus Christ. The gospel has reached the ends of the earth. But that happened long ago. It actually happened already all the way back in that very first wave of evangelism that occurred after Jesus' ascension into heaven. And since that day, more people know the name of Jesus than anyone else. A poor carpenter from the sticks, way out on the edge of civilization, married an equally poor maiden who both happened to be descendants of the long-dormant royal family of David, Israel's greatest and most faithful king. In the early days of their marriage, expecting their first child, they're drawn by a census requirement down to David's town, their ancestral village, Bethlehem. While sojourning there, the first of their children was born. How likely is it? How truly likely is it that 2,000 plus years later, you know that child's name, his parents' names, and so very, very much about this child? How is it that this singular human being is indeed the singular most known human individual in all of human history? How is it that at this very day, on every continent, in thousands of languages, in hundreds of countries, this Jesus is being proclaimed this Christmas day as the only Savior every human soul needs? How? Well, God promised it. Whether it's echoing what the prophet wrote for us in the lesson today from Isaiah, Or you're dialing it back hundreds of years to the psalm of the day that the choir sang. If you regularly worship on Christmas Day, you have grown familiar with the lessons, the psalm of the day, the verse of the day, the hymn of the day, which were all long ago assigned to us for this occasion. The three-year cycle of lessons and psalms and hymns that we employ does not change anything about Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. These two festivals are two of the rarities in all of the rubrics of the liturgy that allow for every single time the occasion is celebrated to place the very same portions of Scripture before God's people. So while you may have heard it on numerous occasions throughout your life, I'd like you to take a journey with me back for a moment to the Psalm of the Day, to just one half of one verse that may often and easily be overlooked amongst the choices made by Christians of the past regarding the words of our God that would warm our hearts and invigorate our faith this day. You'll find it tucked there in the psalm as it's printed out in the worship folder. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Notice the tense of this proclamation. This is a done deed. I have been asked the question very often from newbie Christians and those who are long experienced in sharing their Christian faith. A very common question: how is it that there are so many people at any given moment in time on the earth that do not know the name and the saving power of our gracious God, who have never heard the gospel? I have always tried to be exceptionally consistent in my answer. That's why God has kept you and me here in this moment, that we join the echoing chorus of time in making God's salvation known. That's why our prayers and our offerings in support of the proclamation of the gospel, the salvation of God throughout the world, is so important. We do our part, and we leave the rest to the work of the Holy Spirit. He is responsible for administering where and when the gospel of free and faithful grace from our Savior God will be proclaimed to the world on any given day. What is left to us as Christians who treasure this truth and build our lives and our hope of eternity upon it is to do our part, to live the gospel and to share the gospel, to offer our prayers on behalf of those who share the gospel in our place, and give back to God generous offerings of support that make sure this gospel is being proclaimed anywhere and everywhere, in prisons and institutions, in the community that surrounds us, in communities halfway around the world. We simply faithfully support the Holy Spirit's work to the best of our ability. Conversation by conversation, publication by publication, social media post by social media post, sermon by sermon, class by class, meditation by meditation, the Spirit makes sure that every single day that the sun rises on this earth before Jesus' return, there are those who believe, who are ready to share the gospel, that all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. It has never ceased to amaze me. On any given Christmas Eve or any given Christmas day, that any believer can stop and contemplate, wonder just how many people on this day, throughout this earth, are sharing our praises of our Savior God. are being renewed in their understanding and their conviction that this gospel speaks them forgiven, speaks them eternal. Welcome in God's presence after this life is over and the new life begins. Who also share in the joy of making this salvation known to others. We are so often tempted to be disheartened by the seemingly few people who make the Christ the focus of their Christmas. This morning, I would encourage you, strongly encourage you, to turn that thought around and consider, over the course of 2,000 years plus since Jesus returned to heaven, how many millions and millions and millions have heard the word, have had it warm their hearts, convinced them to trust, rejoice over their forgiveness. Obey the word, love, serve, teach, just as their Savior obeyed and loved and served and taught and died and rose to give each of us the gift of eternal life. It may seem a forgotten element, very easily forgotten element of time and history. It might not be the most noted of promises and fulfillments available to us on this particular festival day. But our God has made an enormous promise through this psalm and this psalm writer long before the Christ was born. It's likely at least 900 years prior to the angels proclaiming the birth of God's one and only Son in Bethlehem that these words were first sung by God's people, very possibly in temple worship. Already in Old Testament times, the God of Israel was proclaiming to and saving the lost souls of sinners throughout the world with his word of truth. And it's important for us to consider the reality that there has never been a time in this world's history since the very first promise of salvation was made to Adam and Eve that this word has not been present, that this word has not been proclaimed, when the promises of God have not been at the center of his relationship with human beings broken by sin, devastated by death, needing the hope of these promises. They've always been available. There have been moments in history when the ranks of the truly and completely believing have been shockingly thin. And maybe the most memorable of those moments comes to mind from the Old Testament itself. When a desperately dejected Elijah is demanding to see God in all of his glory, like Moses, demanding God give him an answer why he is the only believer left. And God corrects him, encourages him with the fact that there are still 7,000 believers in Israel and probably others amongst the Gentiles who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal, that have believed and lived the word of the eternal Savior God. And again, our God proves that he keeps every single one of his promises. He administers his word and his sacrament on a daily basis to his believers. He has fulfilled his promise to make known his salvation to you and through you. It's the wonderful thing about how, over the years, through the traditions of God's people, we've made this occasion about the Word in so many ways. If you were here last Sunday, in the afternoon, it's the shortest of all the services we have at any given year, and yet three-year-olds will sit and stand in this chancel and amaze their parents and their grandparents and anybody else, first, that they can sit still that long, but secondly, that they can proclaim so much scripture that is tucked away in their minds and their hearts with such conviction that there's no doubt that they've come to know and believe. This child of Bethlehem is their Savior too. So come taste and experience his salvation again. In this bread and body, this wine and blood, come receive the tangible benefit of the promise of God and understand again so fully and completely what it means that God is one of us, that God is among us, that God gives himself to us. And then go, continue your joyful celebration in remembrance of our Savior's birth. And in the days and weeks and years to come, live your daily reality as you uniquely have opportunity to make God's salvation known in your moment to those God gives you opportunity. And support those who in your name, whoever they may be, make salvation known to the ends of the earth with your prayers, with your offerings, with your encouragements. And rejoice. Rejoice that God keeps amazing promises, such as this, that as long as the sun rises and sets, as long as this earth turns, God will make his salvation known to the ends of the earth. He's promised it. And rejoice that he has chosen to also use you and me to fulfill this promise. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.